Praise the Lord. God's so good. Well, it's good to see everybody today. How many are here for healing school? Raise your hands. How many are here to get healed? How many are here to learn how to heal other people? You came to the right place today. Praise the Lord. Okay, get out your Bibles. We got a lot of verses we're going to go through. And I just want to go from the beginning, and we're going to go through a few things that are kind of really important when it comes to receiving healing and believing God for healing other people. So if you get out your Bibles, let's start in the beginning, okay? So in the beginning, we're going to go to Psalms 119, verse 89. So what do we have to decide? We have to decide, is the Bible true or not? Now, all of us can say, yes, the Bible's true, but we need to really settle it in our hearts. Does the Bible trump everything else? We have to decide that, because sometimes we let our feelings, our experiences, and our history overrule what's written in the book. So we've got to decide, what is it that God says about it? And look in Psalms 119, verse 89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." So the things that God says is settled in heaven. It's not an issue. It is settled. Whatever he says, that's the way it is. Psalms 138, verse 2. "Will worship towards the holy temple and praise your name forever. Praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name." In other words, he puts his word above his own name. And there's nothing that can be named that's above the name of God. He created anything and everything. So there's nothing above his name. And he puts what he says above his own name. So he would have to stop being God and not exist anymore if he was to break what he says. How about that one? Forever his word has been settled in heaven, and he puts the word above his own name. James verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. We all probably have that memorized. Let's look at that, because James is very good about when we lack wisdom, we need to ask of God, right? And so if we don't know how to handle something, if we don't know how to get healed, if we don't know how to solve a problem, we have to ask God. But we have to believe God when he talks to us. So let me get to James here. You probably got it on the screen already. It says, verse 2, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How many of you fell into a trial before? How many of sickness come on your body just all of a sudden? Some tragedy, some terrible thing, just out of the blue, it hit you. And you just got sideswiped by it. All of us have fallen into those things. But it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces constancy, consistency, patience. But let patience have its perfect work. In other words, you need to stick with it, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How many know that if you're ever sick in your body or you've got issues like that, that you are not complete and perfect? There's issues, right? And so it says that you may be complete and perfect, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to them. In other words, he gives you all you can handle, all you need, all for your situation, whatever it is, and without reproach. He doesn't squint at you. He doesn't go, "Again, you're coming to me." He doesn't do that. He gives it to you lavishly, whatever you need, with a good attitude about the whole thing. He happily does it. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man suppose that he will receive anything. Let him not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So how many of you ran into that problem? God upholds his word above his own name. It's forever settled in heaven. It is a done deal. What he says is absolutely true. But for us to have faith in what God says over my circumstance and my feelings is tough. And so we need to stand in faith and believe God and say what God says over our bodies or whatever it is we're dealing with more than how that thing is speaking to us. And that thing speaks to us. I'm telling you, that pain, it's talking. That not being able to move as much, that's talking. Whatever it is that's affecting your life is speaking to you. And that's when we've got to hold our ground on what is the truth, what does the word say, and overrule what's speaking to us. Now, it's speaking. You can't say it's not speaking, but it's not telling the truth. It's not in the superior position of reality. It's in the inferior position of reality, just like darkness is with light. Light has a superior position. If darkness and light come together, light wins every time. It has a superior position. So does the Word of God. So, but it's up to us to not be double-minded about it. We can't go, well, God, your word says I'm healed, but the pain says that I'm not. And so am I healed or am I not healed? What is it? We need to settle that and let patience have her perfect work. In other words, no, I am healed. Even though my physical body says I'm not, I am healed. We'll get into that. Do you guys know the difference between your body being sick and you being healed? Do this so I know you. Okay, you're not doing that. Okay, I better explain it then. You are not your body. Your body is a portion of you, but it's not the totality of you. If I was a butcher and I chopped off your left arm and laid it on the bench over there and invited everybody yet to walk into the room and said, "Who is that?" None of you could tell me, unless you see me gaping blood over there in the corner without an arm, then maybe you could. But that arm is not me, is it? But it's my body, right? But it's not me, I'm still here. And as long as this physical body can function as a vehicle on the earth, I'm in it. But when this physical body can't function as a vehicle for me to be on the earth, I'm not in it anymore. I leave it. Okay? And I leave and I go with to my Father in His kingdom. Right now, I'm with my Father in His kingdom in my body. And you're the same. You are not your body. Does that make sense? How many of you open a casket during a funeral service and say, "There she is," or "There he is"? No, you say they've gone to be with the Lord, or at least you hope they have, and this is just the shell, right? So when the shell is in pain, it's not you that's in pain, it's your body that's in pain. You are without pain in the heavenly realm. You are complete, perfect, lacking nothing. We'll look at that. Let me go on. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Healing is a fruit of our relationship with God. It says, "As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts." God has given you the divine nature. It is who you are. But you've got to be able to merismos, or separate, divide asunder your body from your soul and spirit. Let's go on. Here's a couple of key principles of healing. I'm giving you the foundational stuff right now. Here's a few of the key principles of healing. Ready? God is good, the devil is bad. That's an important one. I'm telling you, that's a really, really important one. How many have heard people say, might have even popped out of your mouth once or twice, that I don't know why God is letting this happen to me. I don't know why God hasn't healed me. I don't know why God took so-and-so. I don't know why God let that accident happen. And people will acknowledge God in whatever their troubles are, but they don't do this saying, the devil caused this to happen. The devil stole this person from us. The devil put sickness on me. Are you with me? It's the devil that does that stuff in the spirit of this world. It is not God. John 10:10. You guys know that verse? You should memorize that verse if you don't know it. It's a real key verse in the Bible. It says, the thief does not come. He will not come to you unless he's going to do one of these three things. He'll leave you alone unless he wants to mess you up. Except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that's you and I, and they may have it more abundantly. One translation says super abundantly. Jesus came that you and I would have super abundant life. Are you with me? He upholds his word above his own name. So this is a fact. This isn't a kind of sort of maybe. This is a fact. Colossians 1:15, God wants us well. And in Colossians 1:15, look at who Jesus is. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's the image of who? God the Father. So if we want to know what God the Father is like, Jesus is our example of God the Father. Yes or no? So then how did Jesus walk while he was on this earth? What did he do? God absolutely wants us healed every single time. Let's look at a couple of verses. Every time. Jesus is the expressed image of God, it says. So, however God is, Jesus was. And let's see what Jesus did when it came to healing. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8. It says, there you go. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed some of the people who were sick. How many of them did he heal? All. He's the expressed image of God. He's the image of the invisible God. Chapter 4, verse 24, go back a couple of chapters in your Bible. It says, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed all of them. Let's go to chapter 12, same book, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there. A great multitude followed him. And what? And he healed them all. There's three verses in one book that talks about that God heals every single one of us. God wants every one of us well every single time. So we've got to have confidence that that's true. And as Pastor Trey's brought out in the past, that in these multitudes of people, there are people that were absolute rank sinners. There were people who were idolatrous. There were people who hadn't paid their tithes. There were people who hadn't done their sacrifices. And all of these things were applicable in that time, and they weren't doing them. And he healed them all. There were liars in that group. There were thieves in that group. There were greedy people in that group. And he healed them all. So don't ever think that your lifestyle or your poor choices void you from the healing power of God to operate in your body. It does not. It absolutely does not. That's a carnal mind of condemnation, and Jesus does not operate on that level. He operates on the level that we are seated in heavenly places with him, far above all principalities and powers and every name that can be named. We need to get that. The devil wants us to associate with ourselves according to the flesh and not according to the truth. So, through faith, healing is present in our spirit to manifest in our bodies. So, what's the secret? Get it out of your spirit into your body, huh? You got to get it out of your spirit into your body, right? And just a practical example is electricity. I've got this beautiful blender sitting on the counter in my kitchen. Yes, I cook. And I've got a beautiful blender sitting on my counter in the kitchen. And do you know what? If I do not figure out how to get the electricity out of the wall in my house into that blender, it can't do what it's created to do. Do you know that? My drill or my saw cannot do what it's created to do if I don't attach it to the power, if I don't have a battery plugged into it, or if it's not plugged into the wall. Without the power, I can't do what I'm created to do. Without it coming out of your spirit, your body cannot receive the healing power of God. You will be reliant on sleep, diet, exercise, and water. That's what you'll be reliant on, that your body has a natural ability to heal itself. God made it so. It wants to be healed. And so through diet, exercise, food, and rest, your body will naturally start taking on the process of healing, right? But what happens if your body isn't doing that, or if it's taking too long, or something severe is going on? How do you get the healing in your body? That was a question. Get it out of your spirit and get it into your flesh. How do you get it out of your spirit and get it into your flesh? Faith. And how is faith activated? Yes. Your mouth, your prayers, your words. Faith is voice activated. You got to get that. Faith is voice activated. So, you need to do it. Okay, we have authority over sickness and disease of every kind. Look with me at Luke chapter 9. Jesus sent some boys out. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to what? To heal the sick. Now, Jesus hadn't died yet. He hasn't resurrected. But he's still the Son of God, and he gave them this authority. Do you know he gave you that authority? He gave you authority to do the very same things. Let's look at these disciples. There was another time he sent out 70 guys. Because disciples, you can say, okay, they were with him all the time. These 70, they were hit and miss. Luke 10:19. So when he sent out the 70 people, did I only give you 10:19, or did I give you more than that? Go to the top one. There you go. Let's look at the whole thing. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by shall any means hurt you. So Jesus gave us the authority. He does also in Mark 16. We've got the authority. He gave it to us. When he left, he gave it to men. So we have the name of Jesus, and that name is above some of the other names, right? Is he really? Is the name of Jesus above every name? What does it mean when you come in the name of somebody? You're representing them. You're coming in their place. So if you come in the name of somebody, when you speak, you're that somebody that's speaking. Are you with me? Listen. We need to get this. I'm sure a lot of you have it already. When you come in the name of Jesus, just saying that as a tagline or a slogan doesn't do anything. You are coming as Jesus in that moment. And whatever you say is what Jesus is saying. You're representing him. You're representing him. So in other words, he backs up whatever you say because you're coming in his name. So he's responsible for what you're doing and saying because you're coming in his name. Do you get that? Not your own. In your name, you can do no thing. You can't. You got to come in the name of the Lord when you come. How exciting is that? Okay, so let me think about this a second. Let's get real. All right. How many of you actually think of yourself as Jesus' representative at the moment that you're praying for somebody, that Jesus has to back up what you're saying? One person, two people, three people. That's a good start. Hey, three's a good start. You three can come up and pray for people at the end. Amen. Good for you. Because I tell you what, when we really realize that it's the Spirit of God, it's not us that heals people. It's the Spirit of God that does it. And if we actually realize that we've been born of the Spirit and we're one Spirit with him, like it says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, that we're one Spirit, we're joined to the Lord, we're one Spirit with him, then it really is him in us doing the healing, right? It really is him. It's not you, and you need to let it be him. You need to let him be the healer that heals through you. So when the devil comes to your mind and starts saying, well, I don't know why you think you're going to get any results. You've got this condemnation and that thing against you. You know what? You just tell him, shut up. You tell your own mind, shut up. No, that's not true. And just void out that other voice that says somehow you're not worthy or it's not going to happen, because those are some of the things that stop you from receiving. I just want to let you know, from sending or receiving. I'll go on and I'll touch on those a little bit later if we have time. Satan needs your cooperation to make you sick. A lot of people go, what? I'm not in agreement with the devil. But I got to tell you, to make you sick or to keep you sick, you have to be in agreement with him. If you're in agreement with God, he can't put it on you and he can't keep it on you. Now, it may have snuck up on you and it may have caught you by surprise, but you can make it leave because it has no right in you. Not because you're that great. Not at all. Because Jesus paid the price on the cross for your sinful acts, behaviors, thoughts, and feelings. All of it. His blood was spilt for your transgressions, so that you're not guilty anymore. You're perfectly innocent. And if you're perfectly innocent in the sight of God, even though your physical vessel may have sinned, it's been paid. Therefore, God doesn't treat us according to sin any longer. He treats us as sons. Without reproach, he gives to us liberally. He says in Ephesians that we are blameless and above reproach in his sight. We need to really get that, so that when you operate in the power of God, you can stand there with complete boldness and confidence that absolutely what you say is going to happen. Because the word of God is forever settled in heaven, and God upholds his word above his own name, and he has anointed you, it says, and he has called you, it says, and he has made you complete in him. That's the facts. Those are the facts. So in Colossians 2:15, how many of y'all got that scripture memorized? You got it memorized? Oh, okay. I was going to say, stand up and quote it, because that's a good one to know off the top of your head. So this is what Jesus did to the devil. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing, is that the right word? Over them in it. In other words, Jesus completely demolished the devil. Completely eradicated his authority. As you saw when he prayed for the 70, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Satan lost any position of power that he had. He lost it. And Jesus saw to it that that took place. So all of his power has been completely removed as far as God is concerned. Now it's up to you to stand in that same position. Because I'll tell you, listen, I'm just going to be real with you. The people that I come across have more faith in the devil's ability to ruin their life and to hurt them and make them sick than they have faith in the fact that God has made them well and they have authority in the name of the Lord to operate against it. And we have to really renew our minds to the truth of the authority that's been given to us. Not because of us, but because of him. That we have been given the power of God. And so many of us have been meeked according to the spirit of this world that it's difficult for us to see ourselves truly as seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That we actually have authority. That we actually have been given power. And it's not egotistical and it's not in competition with God. It's just the truth of who we are. And when we can really let that settle in, when we get in our Bibles and really settle that in our hearts, we'll have boldness against the enemies. We will. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's what God says. He says that the one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. That's 1 John 4:4. So let me come across some of the common problems and causes people struggle with in receiving their healing. Hebrews 6:12 gives us a nice little edifying statement. And the problem is that a lot of people, they quit believing. They just quit believing. They've had problems in their lives. They've tried and it didn't work. And they've heard the word of God, but things just happen and they quit believing. And he says here that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience who inherit the promise. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. We've got to stay diligent on these things. And I think that's one of the hardest things for people is to be diligent against those things that come against us. we don't deal with it quickly when it comes. So I'll leave the story for a minute. Fear. Fear is another one that stops people from dealing with demonic stuff and sicknesses. Why would you think that is? I'll tell you a story that I had from Bible college. I was in Bible college, and I hadn't been around anybody that was really demon-possessed and that was being delivered of a demon. Okay, this is how spiritual I was back then. That we were in a meeting there, and one of the guys, Wayne Nair, who was the dean of the students, was talking about something. Or maybe it was Andrew that was talking about something in Bible college, Andrew Womack. And we're there, and this person just lets out this shrill of a scream during the service and then starts slithering around like a snake on the ground and just and doing that kind of stuff, okay? It's amazing when that stuff happens, the people that's right around them scatters. It's just, they scatter, man. It's amazing. And Andrew just kept on preaching, and Wayne Nair goes over there and casts that demon out. He says, some of you guys come with me because they're taking this person out of the room. And I do this number. I'm being honest. Why? Since I didn't have any real knowledge of who I was yet or what Christ had given to me, I didn't want that thing jumping on me. How many other people think that? Well, what if I cast it out and it jumps on me? Oh, no. What if I come against the devil to cast him out of somebody or make them well and that sickness comes on me? What if I catch it? What if I pray for somebody with AIDS and I get the AIDS? Or if I pray for somebody with the flu and I get the flu? I don't want that. And so they step back and recline. That's because we don't know who we are yet or what has been given to us. Not really. We still step back now. I don't have any problem with it. I see them acting out like crazy now. And I just tell them, shut up, sit down, stop that. And they do. They do. Do I race to cast out demons? No, I don't race to cast them out. But if one shows up, I gladly will deal with it. Does that make sense? I don't go trying to take the hornet's nest and hit it with a stick. Okay. So, fear. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Great verse in the Bible. You guys should all memorize this one because I think that it sneaks into some of our lives sometimes. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. That means that you and I are flesh and blood, so Jesus became flesh and blood also. That through death he might do what? Destroy. What does destroy mean? It means obliterate, right? Actually completely annihilate to where it has no more power or existence. That he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. So the devil had the power of death, but he doesn't anymore. Next verse, 14, 15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. So Jesus set us free from the fear of death. Why is that? How is that even possible? Because you have resident in you everlasting life. You have everlasting life. Your physical body doesn't have everlasting life, but you have everlasting life. You will live forever. Your body will not live forever. You will live forever. If you believe in the Lord and you're not destroyed in the second death. And I don't want to go into too much teaching on that. But you will live forever. You got to get that. A lot of us don't believe that. Now, let me say that differently. Our heads believe it's true because we've read it. But when it comes to the fact that if you go to the doctor and the doctor says that your body is going to die, something happens to us on the inside and says, oh no, not yet, because we don't really connect with our eternal habitation. So as long as you know that you're not going to hell, you're not going to burn in those flames forever, then there's no fear of death. You're just going to be with the Lord, streets of gold, mansions, you know, all that stuff. And I want to let you know, the angels don't have little wings and harps and eat grapes. That's not how it works up there. I'm just letting you know that right now. So those commercials, they lied to you. Okay? However, the presence of God is everywhere and filling you in all things and is the most glorious thing you could ever experience. And nothing on earth compares to the peace and the glory and the majesty and the wonderfulness of what it is like to be at home in the Lord. And when we can learn how to walk in that on the earth, being at home in the Lord on the earth, then the devil can't take you out by fearing that your life is going to end. The Bible says in Revelations that we overcome the devil how? Anybody know that verse? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. The third part is not loving your own life even to the death. That means that even if you die, the devil can't beat you. You overcome him by the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus disqualifies him from doing any foul thing to you or I. The word of your testimony of who you are in Christ Jesus and what God has done for you voids him of his power. And not being afraid to die voids him of his ability to frighten you. Do you get it? So when we really know who we are, really, he can't do nothing to us. But most of us don't take the time to groom who we really are, to be prepared to deal with spiritual things. And when you take the time to prepare your heart and your mind that you are an ambassador of Christ Jesus, that wherever you go, the kingdom of heaven is going, that whatever you say, the Lord says, and whatever you do, the Lord's doing. And when you can identify with being his ambassador on the earth, then it'll change how you see your point of view. Because an ambassador is freed from the laws of whatever country he's in. He's loyal to his laws. He's got diplomatic immunity, right? So as you being an ambassador of Christ Jesus from the kingdom of God, because you're seated in heavenly places, and the Bible says that you are a citizen of heaven, that the kingdom of darkness and of this world, their laws can't hold you. He can't do it, because you're not of this world any longer. The one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. Are you with me? It's just, I'm just being honest. If you don't take the time to really settle that in your heart and walk it out, you still will be struggling back and forth, and you'll need somebody else to rescue you because you don't believe it. But yet you have the same Bible and the same Jesus as anybody else on the planet. Are you with me? That's not to condemn anybody. It's to help you to become successful. You know? And all of our lives show what we believe. Our life resembles, is the proof, this flesh, how it operates in the earth, is the proof of what we believe. The way you walk on the earth is proof of what you believe. So, another thing that stops people from being able to receive their healing is emotional and worldly issues. Sometimes we get so twisted up with anxiety and with an emergency that we lose our peace and we just need to get bailed out. You know what I'm saying? We can't do it. It's gotten too big and too overwhelming and too important to us all of a sudden that it's very difficult for us to regain ourselves and to walk it out. We've let it go to the point where we went too far. And I'll just be honest with you. There are people that I know personally that have died in their deathbed. Well, of course, it's their deathbed. They died. But in their situation, saying, I'm believing God to heal me, but he better do it quickly. They're not believing God healed them. It's not real to them until their flesh receives it. But I want to let you know, it has to be real to you whether your flesh is showing it or not. It's not in charge. It's the secondary. It's in submission to the things of the Spirit. But if your spirit man is not exercising the authority of who you are, truly eradicating that thing out of your body, then what will happen is it will take the superior position in your emotions. And when it takes the superior position in your emotions, it's going to run its course, whatever that may be. Because its voice is the one you believe. That's why we need to prepare in times of peace. When you're not afflicted, when you're not having some battle in front of you, when you feel healthy and things are going your way, or at least mostly, and then you can start identifying with who you are in Christ Jesus, what the Lord has done for you, and those things, so that when it comes, whatever it may be, you'll deal with it quick. You'll slap it down fast. You won't let it happen. I would normally ask this. Well, this is an older group. You guys are probably still in that generation of, I don't mean to offend anyone. Okay, I really don't. But things have changed over the years on how to raise children. Okay, how many of you have raised a child? Better not raise your hand, you two. Okay. So, you know that when you're eradicating a bad behavior from your child, that you tell them, and you might have to spank them or punish them somehow. And when that is being trained out of your child, or even a dog is the same way, or a horse is the same way, when you need to change that behavior, what you need to do is be very consistent, and you need to come against it quickly when it shows up. Right? Not give it any chance to get any stronghold or any foothold in your child or any animal that you're training. All of us have souls. They're all the same. They're rebellious and they want to go their own way. But they don't operate in wisdom or the knowledge of God. And so it takes us as the adult to walk in the wisdom and the knowledge of God as we're raising the child or the horse or the dog or whatever it is. And so what we need to do is that when we're correcting that behavior, any deviation from that behavior, you quickly correct. You don't let the animal or the child get a chance of gaining the upper hand in that moment. Does that make sense? You know what I'm talking about? Have you experienced that? So, the same thing with your physical body. You have to train it to obey you. So what does that mean? I need to train my body to obey me. That's what it means. Oh, I'll give you another terrible story. I was in this thing called Life Springs years ago, and it's one of those self-helps kind of a seminar kind of a thing that you're bigger than how you see yourself to be, okay? And it really taught me a lot about faith, actually. But one of the things in that class is it's a 3-day seminar, and here's the thing. We all tell ourselves stories. We all do it. We have a story. And I'm not saying your testimony. I'm saying a lie, a story you tell yourself about how things are around you and who you are. And we all have a story that we make concessions for. Well, that story isn't allowed to have authority over you, not in the kingdom of God. It's what Jesus says has authority over you, not your story. And so we need to be able to give up our story and obey God. And so anyway, when we were in this group, here's some of the things. You're not allowed to be 1 second late. If you are, you're not. They lock the doors at the time you're supposed to be there. How many stories got shipwrecked right off the bat because in their mind, they're allowed to be late, or whatever they were doing, it happened to them that caused them to be late. That don't cut it. No. You're the child of God. You're the one in charge. The world's designed to obey you. How many of us believe it? It obeys what you truly believe in your heart of hearts. The world will represent to you what you believe. If you believe people are basically bad, then you will experience badness from people. If you believe people are good, you will see goodness in people. You'll see the world as you believe it to be. So, when we got into the seminar and we're in there, okay, it's 4 hours till we get a break. No food, no water, no bathroom breaks. You take authority over your flesh. No food, no water, no bathroom breaks, and you got to have a good attitude about it. Right there shows people's story, right off the bat. Can I take authority over myself? Or do I need to get my way because my body's in charge of me and my body's going to tell me what I'm supposed to do? And when my body says, get up, I've got to get up. Or do you tell your body, no, you stop. And if you have an accident right here, you're going to sit in it. I'm being real. How much authority do you really have over your own flesh? It may sound silly to you. But it's only because your story agrees with the other person next to you's story. And so together you collaborate and say, oh, okay, this is wrong. This is abuse. He's making us sit here for 4 hours. That's abuse. My body is telling me that I need... Listen, when it's serious, you will do it. Another story. I was at work one day working in the restaurant business. Very busy, high-class restaurant. No time to stop for anything. And I was feeling, oh, I don't want to be here. Oh, I don't feel very good. Oh, I feel sick. Oh, I've got a fever. Oh, I don't know. I think I might throw up. Oh, I don't want to be here. And I'm moaning and groaning. And my boss, he goes, Bob. He called me Bob back then. Bob, come here. So I come over there. And he goes, you don't feel good, do you? I go, no, I need to go home. I don't think I can work tonight. He goes, okay. Get your stuff and go ahead and go. But by the way, stop by my office and let me give you your final paycheck, okay? It was amazing how I felt better just like that. The reality of losing my job because of that just wham, like lightning went through my body, and I was not one bit sick anymore. All of a sudden, it's like, well, no, I think I can handle it. I can make it through the shift. No problem. I'll make it. And I sucked it up, and guess what? Because it was important enough to me to control myself. When it's important enough to you, you'll control yourself. People who smoke, they don't smoke in this room. Why not? Because they know they can't. They're not allowed to. So guess what? They'll wait till they go outside and then they'll smoke. They can control themselves. How much authority do you take and exercise over your vessel? To what level do you allow it to have its own way? And I'm not saying to be a martyr or to to do terrible things to yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you have authority over your body. But it's got to believe you. That means you can't change your story with it. You've got to stay consistent. Because if you don't stay consistent, you will receive nothing from the Lord. Your body will not obey you. You'll get hit and miss. Exercise, hit and miss. So I'm kind of going in the wrong direction, and we're at the end of the time, so I'm just going to leave it where we're at there. I'll come back next time I teach. But you and I have something called an inner dialogue. You guys know what I'm talking about? I'm so thankful I haven't been able to hear some of your guys' inner dialogue in this last hour. You all have inner dialogue, and you all are talking to yourself constantly. And you're measuring, and you're gauging, and you're checking things, and you're doing all this stuff. And that inner dialogue has to line up with the Word of God. That inner thing that says, am I agreeing with God that I have life and life superabundantly? Or am I agreeing with the devil that I'm dying and these things are terrible and they're never going to get healed and I don't know what to do and I'm lost? What does the inside person say? Not the outside person necessarily, but the inside person say. And when the inside person aligns itself with the Word of God and with the Lord, then the outside person says the same thing. You say it twice, in here and out there, you'll see it manifest. But it's got to be the truth of who you are in here. Are you with me? Was this okay? It's just the foundation of getting started. And the next time I'll talk about practically ministering, what we need to do to practically minister and overcome some obstacles when we're ministering to people. Okay? So really, take this time. I'll be teaching another few weeks to really do your own self-examination. The Bible says to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you, is what it says? So we need to examine ourselves. Where is my head really at in all of this? What is it I believe, and what is it that I'm just la, 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 la going about my day? Amen? And if you will do a good estimation of who you are in Christ and start planting those seeds and getting your scriptures and using them as a foundation, you'll be amazed at how much the obstacles of the evil one won't even bother you. Because if he sees that you're really cemented in an area, he's not going to waste his time. He's going to find somebody that's easier. It just is. And so when you really know who you are in Christ Jesus and what authority you have and what's been given to you, it's amazing how the power of God will automatically exude from you. I love you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group. I thank you for everybody, Lord, that hears this message, Lord, and that will take this message to heart, Father. Everything from that your word is forever settled in heaven and that you hold your word above your own name and that you have given your word to heal us, Lord. And that, Father, you have given us power and authority in your name that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our own lives, even to the death. And when we can wake up to that reality, Lord, of who we really are, eternally citizens of heaven, Lord, then, Lord, there's nothing that the devil can do against us anymore. And I just thank you that you root this and you ground this in the hearts and the minds of everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.